And hold on to your radio transmitters. No, you probably haven't got one. I got one here. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Coming up next, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. The downtown controversy. Can we control the police? Can we make the streets safe for poor people and folks who are out there? We'll have to figure this one out, and we'll do it together for the next 2 hours on Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Stay with us for the June 27th show. Welcome to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. This is, well, free speech radio, and we have some free speech coming at you here. A phone call in the first 3 minutes of the show. Hi, you're on the air, caller.
Hi, how's it going? I just wanted to let folks know that there's going to be an initial startup cop watch meeting in Loudoun Nelson Park at 6:30, which is in a half an hour, so it's not much notice.
Wow.
If you're within listening distance, and you're interested in startup of Cop Watch again here in Santa Cruz, I would advise you to get on over to Loudoun Nelson.
Now, is this actually in the park, or it's going to be inside?
I think it's in the park.
And do you have a contact phone number that people can call if they can't make this meeting?
Unfortunately, not. However, Damien and Dirt. So you can probably leave something on the free radio voicemail.
And that free radio voicemail, of course, is 427-4523, 427-4523.
Exactly.
I invite any of the Cop Watch representatives and or all of them. I know you folks are probably working people, so you're not going to find this too convenient. But tomorrow at noon, there's a meeting of Streetwise, which is a group which may or may not be coming together, but which we're kind of looking to bring together to essentially unite people on the streets who are concerned about issues. I imagine that Cop Watch is also concerned about abuse by hosts, abuse by merchants, abuse by police.
Indeed.
And that's going to be happening at noon, because at 1 o'clock the city council is going to be having a two-member subcommittee that's going to be essentially looking for some, quote, improvements in the downtown, essentially concerned with merchant complaints, and they will be meeting a block away. So you might want to send a rep from the Cop Watch meeting, if anybody's around and available at noon tomorrow, to come to this meeting, which is right across from the Cinema 9 at noon, right there in that large open space in front of O'Neill's Sports Shop.
Well, we'll see what we can do,
yeah.
And good luck to you. And so I just wanted to make that announcement over the radio.
So CopWatch will be meeting for an organizational meeting at 6:30. You want to tell us a little something about what you're hoping CopWatch will be?
Well, what CopWatch traditionally is a means by the people to cops and by doing that by any necessary.
You're kind of breaking up there. Say that again.
Oh, by any means necessary. I'm sorry. This phone. You know, like with recordings and video recordings and sound recordings. And one of the good things about CopWatch in Santa Cruz is that we can rely on Free Radio Santa Cruz to help out with media, because then it can be broadcast on the air when cops are actually going after people, and so it gives a lot more flexibility. A corporate radio station would never do such a thing.
Yeah, Berkeley CopWatch, of course, which is one of the first CopWatches I ever heard about, has been in operation for at least a decade and a half, and they have been, I think, remarkably successful, although, you know, they are still kind of a hand-to-mouth operation where they go around with video cameras and tape recorders, and they put out a publication, I guess, maybe it's three or four times a year, sometimes twice a year, and they bring issues to the rather compliant local police review commission, which is better than the Santa Cruz one, but still not, of course, what is needed in the community, which is really community control of police. And if you can...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, as it stands right now, the police review board makes a recommendation, and they don't, like, if you have an issue or if you have a recommendation for review, up for review, they don't give you any alternative time. So if you work during the time that they meet, you can't attend, and then also it's subject to review of the head of police. So they decide to do, and then the head of police can say no, that discipline is not going forward. So of course, much disciplinary action is never enforced.
Well, I know that HUF, the group I work with, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, has always been kind of pushing to restore a CopWatch, which I think was happening two or three years ago under a man named, what was he called, Smilin' Bob, or it wasn't Skidmark Bob, it was another Bob. there are two Bobs, at least two Bobs in town. This guy started a CopWatch back in 1999 and was working on it. And I know Skidmark has always been involved in CopWatch. He's, of course, a local free radio regular, as well as a family man who works around town. And he started a CopWatch back in 1993, 94, or 95 there, and along with activist Kim Margula and others. And it was really...
Right.
They actually had a publication called, what was it called? Surf City Banner, where it's surf as in S-E-R-F, Surf City Banner. So there's really a noble tradition in what you're doing. And again, if you can, you know, at least let us know what's happening, either maybe give a phone call to the HUF line after your CopWatch meeting at Loudoun Nelson at 6:30, which I invite people to come to. I encourage people to come to.
That's right.
Let us know, you know, when your next meeting time is, and if you can send a rep to the noon thing somehow, maybe we can, you know, get some more recruits for you, or you can let us know how things are going. Because what we really need is someone to regularly follow around the police officers on the mall who are taking it upon themselves to give away tickets for breadcrumbs, throwing breadcrumbs on the ground or dropping a cigarette or sitting on a planter, and who are selectively harassing poor and homeless people. And the way to stop that, I think, obviously, is to not only watch them, I think one has to go further, one has to speak out on this, which I tend to do when I see it happening, and draw the attention of the community to police discriminatory enforcement of laws that are bad to begin with.
Well, the one thing that I would like to point out about all that stuff is that often people feel that if it's something that doesn't directly threaten them, it's not something they need to be dealing with. But the thing is, once you're giving away other people's rights, you're also giving away your own. And mm-hmm. That's something that people really need to focus on, people who are housed and maybe feel more secure. And the other thing is, once you do start doing, I mean, from anecdotal, from talking to Skidmark Bob and other people who have been, you know, involved in CopWatch before, once the police have it out for you, they will really start enforcing, giving you bicycle tickets for in any kind of contingency whatsoever, and you really don't have much recourse. And that's one of the things that it's meant to address, that whole issue, is that once the police decide that you are a persona non grata, they can really mess with you, and it's only a social issue, or class or race that keeps us, you know, like protected in that way, and really no protection at all.
Yeah, and I think what we need to do is do what you're doing, and also get together people on the streets to form unions that where they report these kinds of activities and try to fight against them, and join together in lawsuits and in public demonstrations and protests. Caller, I want to thank you for calling in. We're crowding out another person who wants to call in, but 6:30, Loudon Nelson. Hope that people come.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye bye. And we're actually hoping for a call from AHA activists. That's Affordable Housing Advocates activist Paul Wagner. There he is. And he has to rush off to another one of his meetings. The man is endlessly in meetings, and he's a storehouse of information. He's going to give us the update on the ADUs, the City Council's action on Tuesday to deal with legalizing accessory dwelling units, which apparently it didn't really do. It kind of did some half-hearted stuff, but was essentially blocked by Fitzmaurice, Riley, Crone, and Sugar. And I don't have a lot of information on it other than what I've read in the Sentinel, and hopefully Paul will still be able to call in, but he may not be able to today because he's running to a meeting. And if that's the case, perhaps we can persuade him to call in on Sunday when the show returns. We have a 10 to 1:30 show on Sunday morning into the early afternoon. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and for the next 5 minutes I'm going to ask no call-ins except Paul to give him a chance to get in on the line, but after that, until 8 o'clock, you are welcome to call in here at 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This show is concerned with, as you might imagine from the intro into the Cop Watch meeting, which I'm really glad to hear about, the civil rights of folks on the streets, and also street folks who are just folks, wherever you are, but particularly folks on the streets, because these are the most vulnerable folks. They're the folks who are out there. They're the folks who get the first, they're the first line of casualties, whether it's in the drug war or in the gang war and the get the undesirables out of town war, whatever it is. They're blamed for the bad business if the business drops, if the economy falters. They're blamed if there's an irrelevant shooting incident. They're blamed if somebody goes nuts and runs through town with a machete. You can bet that's going to be the musicians, it's going to be the homeless folks, it's going to be the people downtown, the young people with skateboards. They're going to be blamed. And there'll be new ordinances concocted to deal with them. And that, of course, is one of the concerns I'm going to be talking about on today's show. The Santa Cruz City Council on Tuesday night considered a petition from Candy Jackson of Jackson's Shoes, who has been collecting some thoughts and concerns and actually rather bigoted proposals, frankly, to rein in what they regard as inappropriate behavior downtown. I think kind of that's the wrong direction to go completely, and I've suggested that what we need to do instead is to rein in the bad behavior of hosts, police, and discriminatory enforcement of bad ordinances that should never have been adopted in the first place, the Kennedy-Rotkin downtown ordinances that make it illegal to sit 10 feet from a store window, that make it illegal to ask peacefully for a dime after dark, or from a seated position 24 hours a day, or in a group of two or three, or to and from a car. There's a whole series of restrictions on simply asking for spare change. It has nothing to do with the way you do it, whether you do it so aggressively or abusively. These are the Kennedy-Rotkin laws that were put in force after having been imported wholesale from business district boosters up in Seattle, Washington, back in 1994. And they're on the books. They created mass riots in Santa Cruz, not by so much ordinary people, but the police came down to harass, ticket, and eventually beat up Food Not Bombs people back in 1994 in May, who were feeding homeless people at Cathcart and Pacific, which was then the regular feeding spot for Food Not Bombs, and is now the Taqueria Vallarta on the corner of Cathcart and Pacific, across from the defunct Cat and Canary. Unfortunately, Julie Hendy, who headed that business, has now moved into more sinister realms, giving away the sidewalk to Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe, pimping for the Downtown Association, if you will, in these anti-homeless perspectives. And I don't have anything against Julie personally as an individual, but I don't like the kinds of policies that are coming out of this. And I think they have serious effects on the lives of people who deserve better. And we all deserve better as a community than adopting a kind of sort of quasi-fascist scheme of getting rid of a class of people. And that's what these laws are designed to do. Don't be fooled by any kind of, we're concerned about the general safety downtown. We love the color of the musicians, but it's only the few bad apples, you know. That's what we need to do, is we need law and order to deal with the bad apples. Well, I think not. I think what's going on here is quite clearly an attempt to sweep out of town deadheads, hippies, folks who they feel are non-productive citizens in the sense that they aren't throwing enough money in the stores as they pass by on a daily basis, the folks who can't afford the escalating rents. I mean, it's kind of self-destructive and contradictory. I mean, as old Karl Marx used to say, you know, capitalism is providing its own rope to hang itself, because you've got a situation where they're raising the rents to price out the people who are going to be trying, who they need to do the jobs here in town. It's just kind of ironic, but I suppose they'll import, use nano mechanisms to create robotic labor. I don't know what the next answer here is, but the answer for us is to stand up against this kind of only those with money have rights in Santa Cruz. That stuff has got to go. And of course, actually, unfortunately, we're the ones who are going, and I think we have to stop going and start taking a stand. And that's why I'm inviting people to come to this meeting tomorrow at noon downtown called Streetwise. It's a new organization that I'm suggesting we all put together. It circulated a flyer on it yesterday at the farmer's market. I'll read it. On the streets, hassled for sitting on a planter, ticketed for dropping a cigarette, but tired of watching poor people humiliated and moved on, want to see more public space and plazas. Prefer less forbidden fences and restaurants for the rich, cited for chalking on the sidewalk, driven away for playing music downtown, sad to see someone beaten for resisting a feeding the birds citation, woken up at midnight for the crime of being homeless and sleeping at night, abused for holding up a spare change sign. Time to stop playing dumb and get Streetwise, a new community group to reclaim, restore, and reestablish human rights for everyone downtown. Friday, June 28th, that's tomorrow, noon, across from Cinema 9, Pacific at Cooper Streets. Abolish the anti-homeless laws, the sleeping ban on the downtown ordinances. Set up a code of conduct instead of the cops, hosts, harassment under the downtown ordinances and the earlier so-called public conduct ordinances. Restore benches and public spaces. Secure rights for musicians and artists. Find spaces for street vendors. And join support groups for survival campers. And then, an hour later, if you want, testify before the Riley Porter Downtown Problems Committee. This is the City Council subcommittee set up to come up with a couple of good solutions or good things they can do to help the downtown situation. Of course, what they mean is to address the Candy Jackson list of concerns, because they met with Candy Jackson repeatedly, and they met with the Downtown Association, but they did not meet with the homeless activists. And they did not meet, as far as I know, with the street artists and the street musicians. You know, and they didn't meet, as far as I know, with the social service providers, they being the city council and the staff of the city council. So what you have here is the usual one-sided effort with no doubt some token stuff thrown in to ratify this or to duck this merchant program. I suggested it might be to ratify it or to duck it, because it is election time coming up. There was an incredible hubbub created when they passed the anti-homeless downtown ordinances in 1994, done largely through a kind of a police and merchant misinformation campaign, where Lieutenant then Sergeant Patty Cipone created a riot downtown by moving on a town clock New Year's Eve celebration 50 minutes early, hitting people on, directing her police or allowing her police under her leadership to hit people with batons to move them on, and then routing them into the downtown area where windows were broken. Of course, this became a nice excuse for claiming that there's so much law and disorder, we need more laws. And they also used the pretext at that time of two downtown peaceful but extensive homeless protests done by small groups of people, the Wanton Dave Jacobs, Robert Flory World Peace Vigils, as they called them. One was done at Christmas and one was done at Valentine's Day. One lasted for 2 weeks. I think one lasted for a week. This is while the downtown was being rebuilt. They kind of set up a cardboard box or two on the sidewalk and a table, encouraging people to realize that elsewhere in the state, the ICORN decision, before it was overturned by the California State Supreme Court, had told other jurisdictions that sleeping bans were illegal, that to make a law simply to criminalize people who have no alternative from sleeping or camping is just not constitutional, violates the right to travel, violates the right to be free from cruel and unusual punishment, violates the right to due process of law and substantive protection and equal protection under the laws. And, of course, in response to Neil Coonerty and his merchant gang at the Downtown Association was to ram through the downtown ordinances. Scott Kennedy and Michael Rotkin and Catherine Byers all got together and helped them out with their new merchant alliance to build a new downtown. You see, they essentially abandoned the civil liberties positions of the 80s, which to some extent were being taken by even people like Rotkin. If you look at an early Rotkin in the early 80s, you see him defending folks on the street. You see him, he did vote for the sleeping ban as a misdemeanor way back in 1979 when it was harshened. It was initially voted into power in 78 and then harshened in 79, or the misdemeanor provisions were reaffirmed. But later on, he attempted, along with other activists like Bruce Van Allen, or I should say council members, and Marty Wormhout in her earlier days, before she became the Iron Maiden and the Whiplash Wormhout that we know today as supervisor, they were interested, you know, at an earlier stage in their careers in supporting civil rights for folks downtown. That changed fairly soon. Well, it changed around the earthquake time. Actually, for Wormhout and Laird, it changed a little before. They kind of decided pretty rigidly that they weren't going to allow basic civil rights for homeless people around the right to sleep. And for decades, they've held not only rigidly to that position, but they've forced others to hold rigidly to that position and made it sort of a criteria for any kind of support from the inner elite of the so-called progressive circles and SCAN and so forth, even though SCAN itself has come out in favor of ending the sleeping ban, in favor of things like rent control, in favor of, at least publicly, at different times, SCAN has taken a more liberal position. But behind the scenes, these old-timers control things. So tomorrow at noon, Streetwise is meeting, and that's going to be, I'll be down there encouraging people to look into these issues and then testify if they want before the Riley Porter Downtown Problems Committee at 1 o'clock. It goes from 1 to 3. This is the City Council Committee formed to placate merchants who blame street people, musicians, panhandlers, homeless people, etc., for business problems. Instead of going into their ridiculous no bare breasts, no skateboarding, no hacky sackers. I mean, there's no need to defend these things. They don't need to be defended. What needs to be discussed is how police and hosts, at the instigation of merchants like Matisse Selman of Sushi Now and Alibaba of Alibaba's Cafe, just to give an example of the most recent controversy, have given out disproportionate numbers of tickets, citations, and harassment contacts against folks for simply using public spaces and not bothering anybody but, you know, the rather monopolistic, expansionistic Lebensraum perspectives of these merchants. It's not that Matisse and Ali are the bad guys, you know, that we have to eliminate in town. Certainly not. I mean, these are essentially pawns of the redevelopment agency, Seal Cirillo, the city council's conservative staff, the police department, that would prefer to see a different kind of ambiance and group of people downtown. They just would. And, you know, unfortunately, this is enforced by people on the street like Sergeant Baker and Sergeant McPhillips and folks of this sort who, while nice as individuals, and I enjoy talking to them on occasion, other times I enjoy mocking them, you know, when they're engaging in, I think, abusive behaviors toward poor and homeless people. It's nonetheless, we need all of us out there who don't like this kind of discriminatory stuff to get together and just say no. And that's why I'm glad that Cop Watch is meeting, apparently in 5 minutes, down there at Loudoun Nelson Park. So if you get tired of listening to this show, or you got a portable radio, or, you know, you want to do some activism around watching the police department, keeping them accountable, which they are not at the moment, and the city council is doing absolutely nothing to restrain their budget that I'm aware of. I'm not quite clear what the outcome of the budget hearings are, and I guess there's going to be final votes coming up. God, is it tomorrow? I thought it was June 28th. I'm not quite sure when the final date for that budget vote is. Maybe somebody out there can let me know that. I think it was tomorrow, the 28th, there may be some special city council meeting happening, or maybe it's next week. It's, you know, usually one here is a city council meeting is Tuesday or early in the week, but it seemed that date, the 28th, somehow sticks in my mind. I'm not sure. In any case, the police department needs to be dealt with by the community. That's the only thing that's going to stop the kind of really highly funded, funded by the drug war, which is this unstoppable juggernaut. They are, you know, you saw it in the paper today, Steve Clark, you know, oh, we've got this huge marijuana bust. Well, yeah, marijuana busts now have got 700,000 people in jail nationwide, thank you very much, in 1 year. is that something to be proud of? I don't think so. You know, it's crazy. It's abuse of resources. It breaks up homes, criminalizes young people. It goes after essentially innocuous drugs, although for some people, obviously, marijuana, any drug can be abused, and so can marijuana. But compared with alcohol, compared with tobacco, drugs like heroin and cocaine just recede, and marijuana recede into insignificance. I mean, they are significant because they're criminalized. We have a call.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Are you Mr. Robert Nord?
Yes, sir.
This is François Franco.
Hey, François.
How are you, baby?
Well, you know, I am so-so.
You so-so?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so-so, oh, so-so.
A CC and a so-so.
What's that, my man? Are we on the air right now?
You are on the air.
Okay. I've got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I'm declaring bankruptcy.
Yes.
Do you have any info on this?
Information on bankruptcy?
Yeah. How to file for that?
You know, I don't, but I think the place to go, and you can probably get good information, is in the basement of the county building. There is a law library.
The county building?
At 701 Ocean Street.
Okay. That's where we're being crucified in most of the cases.
Well, there you are. You know, go directly to the source, man. The man with the hammer.
Okay,
know?
County okay.
It's open from 9 to 4. It might be 8 to 4, 8 to
okay.
5. You know?
Well, I will make sure then I will be there.
And the staff at the law library is often very helpful. They'll say, well, you can look in here. And there's also do-it-yourself books on how to deal with bankruptcy.
Okay.
And you can also kind of pull the coats of lawyers, say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, what do you think here? Don't bother me unless you have money. Don't bother me.
I would not bring my gun either.
Right.
How are you doing, Robert?
I'm all right. We're trying to do the usual thing around ending the sleeping ban.
The sleeping ban thing. You know, I was a supporter on my shows with sleeping ban. We did something with Becky Johnson.
Yes, you were a man who composed the music for Becky Johnson's Club Cruise.
You've got it, baby. I composed the song for Club Cruise.
Yes, sir.
It's been over 6 years now.
Well, maybe you could compose some theme songs for Streetwise and for Copwatch.
What about what about your show? Do you want me to do something for
sure.
that?
Sure. Why don't you work on something for Bathrobe Spears Broadsides?
I like that. Okay, we should be in touch. My phone number is 420.
Okay, now remember, this is going out on the air. Do you want it out on the air? If not, put it on. Let me give you my phone number to call.
Oh, I do have your phone number.
Okay, why don't you leave it on the Huff line at 423-HUFF, unless you want it to your phone number out publicly. You're welcome to put it out publicly, too.
423-4833.
423-2833. Okay.
Off air, I do have your home number.
And you can leave any messages you want. Anybody else, by the way, can leave messages for me, for this show, and for Huff at 423-HUFF.
Okay.
423-HUFF.
Now, I do have another question for you.
Yeah.
I'm looking for housing support and emergency assistance.
Right.
What do you know about that?
Well, I know that
I classify for. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. This is these kind of questions, Francois. Though they're really only helpful on a public show if I can give everybody good information. And the problem I have is that I don't have a lot of information about housing. And
okay.
I mean, I can tell you that, you know, you can try the Community Action Board. You
okay.
can try the Homeless Services Center.
Okay.
You might try giving a call to activist Becky Johnson, who knows something about this. But
oh, I saw her yesterday at Farmer's Market.
Uh-huh. Well, she's still around town, and she's listed under Becky Johnson. So give her a call.
I've got all the information.
Okay.
Well, it's nice talking to you, and thank you. So I should go to the county building.
For the bankruptcy info, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, you know what? We should be in touch because I will be a supporter of you.
Please do.
Okay.
All right, maybe we'll see you tomorrow at noon at our Streetwise meeting across from the cinema.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Tomorrow noon where?
Right across from the Cinema 9 Theater on Pacific and Cooper Streets. On Pacific Avenue.
Okay.
In front of O'Neill's.
Okay, but next to the Cooper House?
Right, next to the old Cooper House.
The old Cooper House.
Oh, I wish that we had the old Cooper House. That's actually the new bogus Cooper House.
After the earthquake, you know.
Right.
Anyway, God bless you, and keep doing the good job, man.
Hey.
Really, my wife and I, we are part involved with home care,
uh-huh.
And we take care of somebody right now. His name is Russ Morrow.
Uh-huh.
I really likes you very much. I really respect you.
Cool.
And so Becky.
Well, thank you.
So yesterday we chatted a little bit, and anyway, it was nice to see my good old friends.
Listen, good luck with your housing quest, and get back to us. Maybe I'll see you at one of these meetings.
Okay, baby.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open, 427-3772, 427-3772. Lots of good debate and discussion at the city council meeting on Tuesday, both on item 27 in the afternoon, which is this merchant downtown doo-doo stuff, as I call it, crack down further. There were some people who kind of pointed out that the real crackdown is not even being talked about, the crackdown by the police and the merchants and the hosts downtown. And that, of course, is what we really need to be talking about. Hopefully Copwatch will be beginning to document that and even to act as a deterrent. They're meeting at Loudoun Nelson, even as we speak. They were due to meet there at 6:30, so you can go check, look for Copwatch. Might be indoors, might be outside in the park. Check around Loudoun Nelson Center. And then tomorrow, come down to Streetwise, which is going to be meeting in front of O'Neill Sports right across from Cinema 9 at Cooper and Pacific at 12 o'clock noon Friday. And then, of course, at 1 o'clock, it's the old oop-de-doo Riley Porter Downtown Doo-Doo Subcommittee or Committee of the City Council. Going to be playing some stuff from the streets. I don't have the tape from City Council, really. Yet. I'm going to try to get it tomorrow, though maybe a short notice for them to get it out to me. I have access to some video, which I can play as tape in the studio on Sunday to give you some, to replay some of the fine things that were said by people. And as I said today on KSCO, I was on KSCO for 45 minutes, compliments of Mike Schmidt on the noon show. Mike is a former Chamber of Commerce CEO. He now has his own business called Second Opinion, and he's a former supervisorial candidate who was kind of crowded out by a Mark Premack, who kind of jumped into the race and now is having a runoff with Marty Wormhout. And I don't know, you've got to hold your nose and figure out who's worse in that particular race coming up in November. I suppose, you know, if you're talking about the lesser of the evils or the worser of the evils, Wormhout's probably the worser of the evils, but who knows? Premack has some pretty bizarre ideas about homeless people. Though I will say, by the way, that Premack... for the first time that I can remember, the city council accepted one of my corrections to their minutes. This sounds pretty technical, folks. I mean, it means, well, who cares what the minutes say? I mean, that's the record of a council meeting. Well, usually, because the council only gives people 3 minutes to speak, and then Crone is now making it a practice of giving people 2 minutes to speak, I can blame myself for that in part, because he was cutting off oral communications after 10 speakers. Instead, what he's doing now, instead of expanding oral communications, he is simply contracting the amount of time each person can give. And I suggested that was one thing to do, but it would be better to just give people more time. How about limiting the council's discussion time so that we don't have to endlessly hear them going on and on and on while the public has essentially very little input? How about giving a second input period to the community so you hear the community, the council debates, and then the community responds with some more input? That's the kind of back-and-forth stuff that would really involve the community and might make some sense. You know, give the community a chance to respond to what the staff has to say. Don't give the staff endless amounts of time, but allow a dialogue with the community. Allow the community to ask questions of the staff. It's all these things could and should have been done. We'd hoped that Fitzmaurice, Crone and Sugar, or Porter and Riley, when they came in, would begin some kind of new regime. It was all a fantasy. It was all a dream. Didn't happen, and we have another election coming up, and it's not going to happen unless people like Steve Argue get into power, which, unless you guys really support Steve Argue, you men and women out there, you know, get him the kind of assistance he needs. We're going to have Rodkin Byers and perhaps Rodkin Matthews and perhaps Byers and or Crone Fitzmaurice and Sugar back again. The same recycled candidates. Really depressing. Anyway, the Tuesday City Council, item 27, was the discussion of the proposals by Candy Jackson and so-called, you know, the menace of the street people downtown and the dark shadow of violence. Actually, and again, I'm going to be playing this, some of this stuff on Sunday, but a lot of interesting things were said, and the council supposedly got at least one of the basic points, which was that the resolution put forward by Sugar, Porter, and Riley to kind of take a sugar-coated pill from the merchants and hold a subcommittee meeting that will suddenly come up with some laws by July 9th, is that they would only have 1 week to do it, because the structure of city council is such that you got to publish the laws, new proposed laws, and read them twice. You read them once at one council meeting, and you do a second reading 2 weeks later to finalize them. And then the council goes on vacation for a month in August. There's no council meetings customarily. So for there to be any action, you would essentially have really one meeting, maybe two. And that obviously is, there's insufficient time to do this. And why is it some kind of emergency anyway? I mean, people are getting knocked off on Mission Street. I'm told that there have been three fatalities this year on Mission Street. You don't see people calling for a shutdown of Mission Street or some, and you know, deaths are happening up there. Well, you know, what you got downtown, you've got some violence happening occasionally, mostly from folks from out of the area come in and do it and leave, you know, or for different problems that arise, you know, in an urban scene where you've got criminalization of drugs and the violence and the absurd situation that happens when that goes on, and city councils ignore it and play let's give our police more money games instead. But you don't, you know, you have this merchant group ranting and raving and blaming poor people outside for everything in the world, and for the incivility. That the incivility, there's a certain amount of incivility that comes from looking at a society that is increasingly unjustly organized, where there's profiteering rampant in the rents, where the police force essentially is enforcing a set of laws that are class laws and laws that are designed to serve the rich, where it's illegal to sleep at night, period, in Santa Cruz on paying a $54 fine. Unless you're inside and on private property in a house, a hotel, a motel, or parked on somebody's private property, but only for three nights, thank you, on the in a driveway per month. Thank you, Tim Fitzmaurice. You have this whole set of reasons why people are angry and upset, this whole set of factors that drives people, you know, creates a hostile climate. And then you're going to run around and blame the people that are victimized by this climate. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't go for that. I agree, people should not sexually harass other people downtown. You know, I agree, people should not be abusive to each other. They should not frighten the shoppers if they can avoid it. Though, and frankly, there are occasions when it's appropriate, for example, to call boycotts and draw the shoppers' attention to the fact that businesses are violating basic human rights, whether it's the Gap, you know, or other large corporations in town, or whether it's smaller places like Coonerty's Bookshop, where the owner of that bookshop has pressed anti-homeless laws and continues to discriminatorily bar homeless activists, some homeless activists from his store, myself and Jim Costner to name two, for 9 years now, I believe it is, 8 years since 1994, or simply that there are some merchants and businesses that are behind this new push for anti-homeless laws. You know, it may be time to, unless these merchants want to get together and really work things out, which I think they should, and I supported that, I think that there has to be consequences to trying to criminalize people and essentially take away basic civil rights from people on the claim that it's going to make your customers more comfortable. You know? Don't go for that one, folks. I mean, I don't go for that one. And I hope you don't. I hope you show up tomorrow at noon. We can talk more about it downtown. I want to apologize for the time. For a lot of working people, it's a very bad time. For homeless people who want to get to the meal, it's a bad time. We chose the time noon on Friday because it's an hour before this this meeting by Riley and Porter a block away to consider downtown problems. A couple things about that. The downtown committee, actually I want to give you, I can give you the exact name because I was able to get off the internet the actual agenda for this thing. Here it is. It's called the City Council Downtown Issues Committee. It's meeting at 1 to 3 at the McPherson Center, 705 Front Street, Santa Cruz. And the agenda, here's the agenda. Purpose of the meeting and committee objectives, 10 minutes. Review identified issues and suggestions, 60 minutes. Discussion regarding next steps, 45 minutes. Next meeting, 5 minutes. Adjourn. Now, my understanding, listening to the 12:30 a.m. discussion of this item, because Christopher Crone would not allow this matter to be discussed after the public comment period was over. It could have been finished up then, probably in 15 minutes to half an hour, but instead he chose to put it all the way off to 12:30 at night, where there was no opportunity to talk about it. Now, this may have been a strategic choice. He may have, because he then said at 12:30, and Sugar echoed him, you know, it's so late, we can't really talk about it now. Let's put it over for, a more reasonable hour when the public can actually be here, when we're, our minds aren't so addled because we're, you know, real deep tired and it's late at night. And that was a reasonable thing to do, but Emily Riley, this is the woman who had no parking, essentially no homeless signs put up in the Harvey West from 5 to 7 a.m. because daily, don't you know, there's got to be street cleaning nowhere else in town, but just there. That's where there's daily street cleaning. That's the Emily Riley connection. She said, and the rest of the council supported her, we want to do instead. No, we just want to get together this little committee. It's not going to take long, and we'll have this group get together, and we'll all figure out what's going on. We won't so much work on laws. We don't think we can really probably get laws together so quickly, but we'll try and do one thing. You know, this is sort of the optimistic grinning at you, one thing, the sweet smile of Emily Riley, we're going to do one thing. And, of course, she didn't say what kinds of things they were really going to talk about or what one thing they were going to talk about, whether they were simply going to consider everything from the merchants list and nothing from the lists of other people, such as Sherry Connable and Roxana Kistapache and myself, who spoke and talked about police and host abuse. Those things I don't think are on the city council radar at all. And Kennedy, the man who gave us the downtown ordinances, the anti-homeless laws, said, well, we have to make sure that during this period of time we will enforce all existing laws, enforce his bad panhandling laws. It used to be a matter of rather some amusement to me that Kennedy, the co-founder for the Resource Center for Nonviolence, the man who used to talk a lot about Gandhi, being guided by Gandhi, you know, who feted Gandhi's grandson when he came here, would criminalize peaceful begging at night. He did. And he never explained it with any kind of clarity or to my satisfaction at all. I don't think to anybody's satisfaction, except that it was a deal he made with the merchants, just like he ripped the Resource Center for Nonviolence apart by allowing essentially a police substation to be set up there by getting the Resource Center for Nonviolence involved with the police and having armed officers coming in and so forth, pissing off big time half the Resource Center, which thought this was really inappropriate. But Kennedy forms these alliances. He comes up with these ideas and he gets back into power. So what he did in this Wednesday morning, very early at 12:30, was he said, enforce all laws. And the council added that to their charge to the downtown City Council Downtown Issues Committee. And now what that means, of course, is that it's a green light to the cops to go ahead, keep giving tickets to people for sitting on planters, keep provoking confrontations downtown for people who are feeding the birds with breadcrumbs, keep harassing folks who are leaning against a building or seated on the sidewalk in a place that violates the downtown ordinances. This is what Kennedy did.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
I'm on a walk.
Aha. Oh, no, this is one of those homeless activists from Santa Barbara, San Diego. You're with the Walkin' Rollers, as you call yourself.
Oh, how about that, yes.
This is Nancy McCready. We're talking here, of course, you caught us in the middle of a discussion of the nasty downtown issues stuff that's coming up. But where are you, anyway?
We're in Redwood City.
You're in Redwood City?
Yes.
And how many are you?
There's one, two, six of us. We lost one and gained one.
Oh, wow.
So we're not, I don't know what we're going to do because Susan will be leaving, Susan Dunn will be leaving on the 1st in San Francisco, and it may be just two of us walking to Sacramento unless we can pick up some walkers.
Now, why are you going to Sacramento, Nancy McCready?
Basically, we're going down to rally in front of the state capitals 2 to 5, and hopefully somebody will pick up some of the information that we've been collecting, all of the information that we've been collecting
up
the coast.
What are you rallying about?
The right to sleep.
Wait a minute, the right to sleep. We all sleep at night. What are you talking about?
Certainly, the right to sleep for the homeless who cannot live in traditional housing.
Well, why don't they move to areas where they're not going to be bothered?
Why don't they move to areas where they're not going to be bothered? Well, it seems like this walk has shown us there aren't too many areas where they're not going to be bothered.
Well, maybe they should just get a job.
Yeah, maybe they should. Maybe they should. Maybe they're just a little bit too disabled, some of them. So we'll just see what happens.
So you came through Santa Cruz, then you went to San Jose, and then you walked up to Santa Clara. You want to tell us about some of your adventures?
Oh, well, I'll tell you an adventure we had today. In front of, on the opposite side of Stanford University, there is what is called MacArthur Park. Now, MacArthur Park has a lot of history. A lot of history. Possibly disabled or whatever. But it comes to find out that today, even though they have this spread on their sheets, they have this spreadsheet that says how compassionate they are, they kicked us out.
What do you mean?
They're now a yuppie restaurant.
Now, wait a minute. Now, wait, this is a park?
Yeah, it's MacArthur Park, and it now the house that used to be, let's see, the woman who designed Hearst Castle designed this house for the YMCA historically, and this house is on there, but it has now turned into a yuppified restaurant, and they don't want the likes of us near their establishment.
Well, did you offer to buy a hamburger?
Or a veggie burger, perhaps? Well, no, we were going to eat dinner. They serve chicken and ribs. Baby back ribs, however, as they were so nasty about us parking in their parking lot, we decided we didn't want to eat there.
So, in other words, wait a minute. You were prepared to pay money. You were homeless individuals who were civil rights activists. You were not going to try to codge or panhandle. You were going to pay good money.
We went over there to have some coffee until they were going to open up, and then we were going to go in there and eat. But
And what happened? What did they tell you?
They, first of all, didn't want us to park where we were parking, and they told us we could park in their parking lot for 2 hours. But when Susan and Robin went over to park in their parking lot, they threw them out. So
What do you mean they threw them out?
They threw them out of their parking lot.
Now you have three large vehicles, right? You have one large kind of
one's a small RV.
Right,
which
small
is
RV.
Not very big.
And these are all vehicles are all covered with signs about the homeless civil rights movement. Where you're walking up to Sacramento to try to get Governor Davis to decriminalize sleeping statewide.
Oh yeah, we're pretty ugly. I think we're pretty cute.
I think that's pretty beautiful, actually.
Oh yeah, we just got called in San Jose. We got called the White Buffalo, and we have a White Buffalo drawn on the white vehicle now, which just dumped a clutch, having a little bit of trouble moving it forward.
Uh-huh. How can people catch up with you and rendezvous with you? Where are you going to be tomorrow?
I mean, tomorrow we'll be walking up 82.
That's 101 Business, right?
Yes, 101 Business, or it's El Camino Real, it's called.
Where will you be? What town?
I don't know. Let's see, where's our next spot? I don't know. We're trying to get to San Francisco, so...
Where are you now?
Redwood City.
You're in Redwood, so you're probably going to be coming into, Belmont?
We'll probably come into Belmont, and what else is
San
there?
San Carlos, maybe?
I don't have a map in front of me. Burlingame?
Mountain View, maybe?
We've already been through Mountain View.
Been through Mountain View.
Yeah,
Palo Alto you've been through.
Yeah.
Well, you also mentioned to me, I talked to you a couple days ago, you stayed in a church in San Jose, CHAM, Community Homeless Alliance Ministry, where Reverend Scott Wagers was who has also walked to San Francisco recently with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
But not from San Diego to Sacramento, as you're doing this time, and also not across the United States, as you and others did in 1988, all the way across the United States.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But so, and then you contacted St. Vincent de Paul's, and you tried to stay in their church. And what happened there?
Well, St. Vincent de Paul said they didn't have enough funds to.
No. It doesn't cost funds to park in their parking lot.
No, he just doesn't sound like he wanted us to come. So I said that was fine.
Well, what about, wasn't there another church you tried to stay at too, and you were told you couldn't stay there?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, are you just
their
a bunch
insurance,
of?
Their insurance policy couldn't deal with it.
Their insurance policy.
Yeah, their insurance.
They couldn't let people sleep
in their parking lot because of insurance reasons.
I see. You know, why does that sound less than persuasive to me?
I don't know, but it's the way that the churches are nowadays. They're hardly Christian anymore. So, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. I think that the churches are afraid of political issues and it's just one of those things. I think that's what the problem is.
We're talking with Nancy McCready, or Neff Said Nancy, as I call her, who has formed a board with the mayor of Santa Barbara and other activists for Homes on Wheels. Is that correct, down in Santa Barbara?
That's correct. And we just had our presentation. The RV Task Force did their presentation in front of the city council, and we're getting our motor housing park.
Now, wait a minute, a motor housing park, isn't this something that Santa Cruz maybe should look to? How would you compare?
I think that every community should look into it, because there's a lot of people sheltering themselves in their vehicles.
So what would this motor park be in Santa Barbara? What are you looking to here?
Well, we're going to have electricity. The CUP has a design for
CUP?
Any motor housing park that is built, and we would have to go along with the CUP.
What's the CUP?
So it would have electricity, and it would have sewage hookups. It would have laundry facilities, basically bathroom, shower facilities.
So wait a minute. This would be for people who normally, not for people in motorhomes, but for people in RVs, kind of more mobile place things.
Well, it's going to be for anybody who needs to come on in and who can behave themselves.
What I'm saying is this is not your standard. Santa Cruz and Capitola have a lot of, and Live Oak have a lot of RV parks. Not RV parks. They have a lot of motorhome parks. I don't know what you call them. They're, these permanent, long, double-wide trailers and so forth. They're trailers.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what you're talking about.
You're talking
about a place where homeless people in vehicles can park their vehicles and sleep.
If you live in a van, you can park your vehicle in there, okay?
Uh-huh.
If you so much as happen to have nothing more than just a car, you can come in and park your vehicle day and night. It's going to be a permanent area for you to be.
Well, this is a nice
idea. Grow.
This is a nice idea, but what's happening in Santa Barbara now? I mean, I know that you had a lot of Santa Barbara police were not a particularly sweet group of individuals. They were ticketing people for sleeping in their vehicles, and then Ridley and Cooper, two different cases, were taken by public defender Glenn Maurer, who has been essentially the Dragon Slayer. He has been going after almost every homeless ticket that comes up, and the city was put in a position where they were told, if you have no real alternatives for people, even a church with a mandatory sermon is not considered a good alternative.
That's right.
You have to allow them to sleep in their vehicles unless they're violating some other codes or laws. And as I understand properly, this meant that this essentially forced the mayor and other city council members to they could set up parking laws all over town that drove all the RVs out of town, or they could say, wait a minute, let's look at a more reasonable solution. Affordable housing really is a car in the 21st century for a lot of poor people, and you're going after that. How would you compare what Santa Barbara is doing to what Santa Cruz? You went through Santa Cruz. You assembled in front of Borders last Friday and had some singing and some souping and some sitting and some shouting. How do you compare Santa Cruz with Santa Barbara?
Well, it's like I told the media in Santa Cruz, and I think they were pretty much offended by it, but I told them that they were about 5 to 10 years behind Santa Barbara in their progressiveness of the homeless issue. And I think they were pretty much offended by that, but I can't help but telling people that because it's true.
Why are they 5 to 10 years behind? What do you mean?
Because I feel that the community isn't rallying on the homeless issue. I think it's more or less they're still worried about their tourism. I still think that they're worried about a lot of developments and stuff like that. So I think that they have to realize that criminalization of the homeless isn't working, and they have to start. They have to start working towards more positive solutions. I mean, and the positive solutions, I mean, they're so easy to figure out. To get people off the streets, what do? You get them off the streets. And the best way you can do it is to bring them into a place and realize that they are part of the community, and to give them a place to be so they can grow. You know, if people are going to grow, you have to plant them somewhere. You can't just shuffle them off and criminalize them and do this and that. That isn't conducive to growth for anybody.
We're talking with Nancy McCready of Santa Barbara Homes on Wheels, also working with the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project, which is, I guess, one of the sponsors, along with San Francisco's Coalition on Homelessness and Santa Cruz's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, of this walk, this Right to Sleep walk that you're doing. And I guess you're heading for Sacramento, where SHOCK, Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee, is going to throw some kind of a rally on the steps of the Capitol or something?
It's in the park next to the Capitol, yes.
Uh-huh. And are you going to get Governor Davis to come down there and give you a $100,000 grant? Or?
Heck no. I don't think we're going to see Governor Davis at all.
Really?
However, but we can give his aides or anybody in the state capitol who will accept them, we can give them the information that we've collected all along this route.
And what kind of information is that?
Basically, the petitions that we've been having people sign to ban the sleeping laws in the state of California. And also, he sent out some questionnaires. His Interagency Task Force on Homelessness sent out some questionnaires for the communities to fill out, which none of the communities got, by the way, and that I know of, and we've been having people fill those out.
So you're doing the work of the governor, but you're not getting paid.
No.
You know, it's interesting. I got an email from Sacramento, a story from the Sacramento Bee from Wednesday, I guess that's yesterday, I was going to read it to you. Protesters call for year-round shelter. 3 dozen or so women, many with babies and young children, and most homeless or formerly homeless, spent the night outdoors again Tuesday. This time they did it for a cause. Their campground was the little patch of grass under the trees in front of the Sacramento County Administration Building, and they did it to protest the county's refusal to open an emergency women's shelter. You really can't imagine what it's like for a woman sleeping in the open if you haven't been there, but no matter, you would never get away with sleeping in a place like this if you're on the street. The cops would get you so fast, said Tony Smith. Smith, 53, said she spent several months sleeping in the bushes along the American River before she was able to turn things around in December. It's hard. You've got to hide from the police. The cops run you off. Then the rangers take their turn, she said. What is needed, said Smith and the others, gathered Tuesday afternoon with their sleeping bags spread on the ground for the night, is for the county to open a year-round shelter for women and children. Yolanda Jones, 22, sprawled on a pallet with her 4-month-old son, said when she can't find a friend to put her up, she and the baby will often ride buses and light rail all night. Then we'll have to hide in the bushes when the trains aren't running, and I'll try to get some sleep at Mary House, the women's day shelter at Loaves and Fishes, the next morning, she said. With her $500 monthly welfare grant, she can scrape up the $54 nightly rate for a motel room maybe 3 times a month, she said. That's really all I can afford, and I can't rent an apartment because I've never rented before and I don't have credit, Jones said. Tim Brown, executive director of Loaves and Fishes, said the answer would be a change of heart by the no supervisors. If they would just show a little common sense, they would see where they're going wrong, he said. The county supervisors have voted against keeping the shelter open, have refused to visit the Loaves and Fishes Mary House Day Shelter for Women to see the need for themselves, Brown said. Roger Nilko, Mildred Johnson, and Roger Dickinson just want to pretend this problem doesn't exist, so we're camping here to show them that it does, he said. On May 1st, the county's emergency winter overflow shelter closed, putting 19 women and 37 children on the street. Since then, more than 600 women and an uncounted number of children have been turned away from already full shelters around Sacramento, said Brown. And those are not the same women counted over and over again. Those are different individuals, he said. Tuesday's event was to mark the beginning of a 4th month of fasting by housing advocates and clergy members who are staging a protest in the supervisor's office. This is where you're headed for, Sacramento, Brown said. More than 200 fasters have taken their turns sitting in the offices while participating in a day-long fast. In Santa Cruz, they arrest you for doing this, and they accuse you of harassing the secretary, as they did with the three of us a year ago. The supervisors are on their mid-year break this week, and were unable to comment. And the little blurb that I got from Paula, who is, of course, an activist with Shock, said, in an ongoing attempt to change three county supervisors' votes for the year-round shelter, we had a sleepover outside the Sacramento County admin building. The grassy area we selected surprised us with a sprinkler shower, moving us to the cement area, more in front from the street. We had excellent media coverage. Channel 10 especially came out four times, once promptly as the police arrived. The police intimidated us a bit with many cars, the paddy wagon, crime identification unit camera, but were ineffective when they failed to reach anyone of authority that could accuse us of trespassing. A security officer woke us up at 5:30 this morning, threatening the police on us, but we were planning on leaving for breakfast anyway, dawdled enough to be not polite, and were waiting for rides when the police finally showed up again to make sure we weren't going to stay again tonight. That's what you're heading into, the Sacramento whirlwind, or...
Oh, it sounds like a good time. It sounds like a lot of fun, Robert.
Hey.
So, I'm not worried about it, and I've been through this before. We have all been through this before.
So, if people want to get in touch with Nancy and the Homes on Wheels walk, right to sleep walk to Sacramento, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I will put you through to them. They're only about an hour away by car from here, but they're walking, so you might want to join the walk for a while. And I guess you'll be reaching, San Carlos, Belmont, who knows?
Burlingame,
thereabouts, in the next day or two.
Yeah.
You know where you're sleeping tonight?
Well, we're going to wing it in a Target parking lot tonight in Redwood City.
Have you been given permission?
No.
Uh-huh. I may have to make a complaint then.
Yeah. We just might have to go in and talk to them. So later on, we're just going to have dinner, and we're setting up a table and stuff like that. So.
Well, listen, good luck, and who knows, maybe we can get up and meet you up there on the 1st, although I'm not quite sure. We've got conflicting scheduling stuff happening down here. We're fighting to set up a Cop Watch organization. Even as we speak tonight, people in Santa Cruz are getting together to form a new group called Cop Watch.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, hopefully, to form a group called Streetwise, which would help people on the streets who are, you know, kind of cut off from each other to get together and express themselves with stronger voices.
Well, good outreach is marvelous, so, you know, you have to do your outreach.
You got it.
I always, every time I see a cop harassing a homeless person, I say, oh, it's so nice to see you people doing outreach.
That's right.
So nice. Let's have a little outreach here.
Reach out and punch someone.
All right. Really?
Well, Nancy,
okay, Robert.
Brady, thank you for being with us, and give my regards to Protest Bob and Susan and the whole gang there.
Okay, honey.
All righty.
We'll see you later. And, oh, by the way, can you fax some information, press release up to San Francisco for me?
If I can't, perhaps someone else listening to the show can.
Information that I gave you of all the stuff, and I need some help with that. So I don't know if that's up your league or what.
You might want to talk to the producer, I think, is three-waying this call through. She can give you more details on that.
All righty.
Stay on the line, and I'm going to.
Okay.
All righty. And thank you, Nancy.
Okay, and Robert, good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
And you are still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. That's the line to call in if you want to actually be on the air. Let's go out onto the streets for a moment. I went out on the streets yesterday and tried to get some interviews about what I call the breadcrumb brawl. So it was more than that. Some call it the breadcrumb beating. Since I'm getting different stories about how much of a beating it was, and I'm getting a number of reports that people were beaten, that one person was beaten, the man in the... there's a Sentinel article in yesterday's Sentinel by Jason Schwartz, which is largely a police report, unfortunately. It doesn't report any witnesses who were not police officers. It essentially reports police information as fact, and while I'm sort of thumbing through to look for it, I'm going to play a couple of interviews on the street, And these are kind of raw interviews. I mean, I didn't censor this stuff or edit it very at all, as a matter of fact. And so you're going to get some honest confusion. You're going to hear real people kind of trying to describe what they saw, parts of this incident. And again, what I understand happened from the composite as I have it is that a man who was at the Food Not Bombs meal was told by a CSO, community service officer, police department community service officer, to pick up breadcrumbs or bread bits that he had dropped on the sidewalk. He may or may not have been making a lot of noise. The first person you're talking to will claim that he heard a lot of noise, but he's the only person I've talked to who heard that. And I also got the story from one of the police officers, who I'm not going to give by name yet because I want to get his permission on that, but he said that his understanding was that the man was shouting abusively and so forth, but he wasn't given a ticket for shouting abusively. He was given a ticket for littering on the sidewalk, as I understand it. He didn't want to accept the ticket because he picked up reluctantly, or Food Not Bombs had agreed to pick up, one of the two, the breadcrumbs. This is on Monday evening near the Cinema 9 area, and he tried to walk away, and in essence he was restrained from leaving, and then he became angry and tried to resist this restraint and got into essentially a fight when 5 to 7 police officers arrived. The police claimed that he struck several of the officers, one with a radio. They claimed that he went for the cop's gun. Other witnesses claim that the police beat him rather severely or strongly, to the extent that the pants fell about his ankles, and he begged people to put his pants back on. That was I may have that witness's account, be able to play that one later. I'm going to play some of the accounts I got yesterday on this issue, and you're also encouraged to call in with your own account, 427-3772, of what you saw, if anything, Monday evening. And also, if you've seen other things downtown that concern you, positive or negative, that you want to bring up that have to do with quality of life on the streets and how people are being treated, 427-3772 is the number to call.
So it's about, noon in front of the Cinema 9 Theater on June 26th, the Wednesday. We're talking to that, unfortunately, $4-a-day panhandler, Steve Elliott. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, you got a disabled homeless handing help sign. You were here on Monday the 24th when an incident, which actually made the Sentinel today, happened, and you saw parts of that incident, right?
Yeah, unsuspecting that there was a big incident. I didn't see the last part of it, but I looked across the street from the Theater 9 here, Cinema 9.
In front of O'Neill's?
Yeah, over to O'Neill's, and I heard this commotion going on. Somebody was pretty loud, and he moved across the street to the Cinema 9.
Actually, you were telling me earlier that there was something about spilled soup on the side.
Yeah, somebody told me that somebody had spilled some soup, and the guy got all outraged, and...
You didn't see this, though.
No, but somebody did.
And you saw him move from the Food Not Bombs.
Yeah, he was standing in front of this piece of whatever that
architecture looks like, two balls and a...
I don't know what that is.
Abstract.
Whatever that thing is, yes, whatever.
And where was the Food Not Bombs meal relative to that?
Right next to the piece of art right here.
To the right or to the left?
It was like right of it.
Right.
It was actually all around it.
Right. Now, did you see what this man looked like?
I just remember he had dark hair and...
Did he have a shirt on?
I think he had a shirt on.
Okay.
I can't remember the color, but...
White, black, African-American?
He was a white man.
And you say he moved from there over to another part in front of O'Neill?
Yeah, he moved over to the left side of the art and was being really verbal with a lot of people.
What did he say? What sorts of things?
It was just loud commotion stuff. You know, I try not to pay attention to that stuff. I don't want to get involved because some of these people are, you know... So I watched him move across the street... To the Cinema 9, on the right side of the Cinema 9 by
on the left side,
Alice, I think it's called. And he was just standing there in front of the telephone yelling and screaming at somebody else and making a big thing about nothing because, you know, it wasn't anything, nobody else was reacting to anything. It was just him making a lot of noise.
Right.
And that's all I knew, and I just kind of ignored it. Because you can't pay attention to too much of this stuff.
Did you see any police cars or anything like that?
No, I didn't see any police cars at all. That's the point where I just phased out on it. I phased it out.
We may have to call the psychiatric ward to have, or possibly a tonic, a Pepto-Bismol, maybe
some time off.
Yeah, right.
Time off.
Well, you know, Dominican has done such wonderful things by you.
Hey, all I can say, if you're hearing this, please come down and help me, man. I need help. I'm disabled. I've been hit by two cars, by drunk drivers, and I've fall off a roof. Man, my back is hurting. My legs hurt really bad. I'm having a hard time working, and I'm under narcotics to help the pain. It isn't working. I'm standing here trying to get help. The government won't help me. I need your help. Please come down and help me.
Here, here.
Or there. Please, don't show me the way to hell.
Thank you.
Say that again. You were working man?
I says I was a working man, and I was an honest man until some piece of crap assholes come along and smashed into me drunk drivers. And I don't like the idea that I'm being treated like shit now because I'm hurt and I'm asking for help. And these people walk by me, they're judgmental, they suck.
Thank you. We're talking with?
With Jim Duran and Chaz.
And so you guys were at the Food Not Bombs meal on Monday?
Food Not Bombs was giving and loving us, and we were getting some food.
And
the whole time we were there, nothing was wrong. The man sat down next to me, and he started feeding the birds bread.
Now, where did he do this?
Right here on the corner of Pacific and... gray here on the corner.
Was it on this side of the sculpture or the other side?
Yeah, all right. But before the sculpture, okay. You know, on the other side, right on the corner where Food Not Bombs was, he's enjoying his dinner and he was feeding birds.
Right.
And the guy didn't do nothing wrong. He was just being himself.
How close were you to the guy?
I was about 3 feet away from him.
Okay, so then what happened?
Well, then I finished my food. And I got up and I came over to about this far from here.
We're standing now at Pacific and Locust at about what? In front of the... across from the Rittenhouse lot.
It was a clear day, too, because I can see clearly.
Right.
And then the cop came up and he grabbed him for not picking up the bread.
Did you see a police officer, man or woman?
It was a man.
What happened then?
And then he defended himself because he was assaulted, you know, by the police. The cop grabbed him, that's assault. So he just turned in an attack, and he lost control of his mental anguish.
So did this fight happen here or across the street?
It was right all over town. They chased him and beat him with sticks.
They followed him and told him to come back to pick up the freaking breadcrumbs that the birds were eating.
We're talking with...
Chaz,
give me a kind of blow by blow. Where were you standing when you saw this begin?
We were sitting over there, right here on the corner of Cooper and Pacific, and
where we are now, we're a bit closer to the.
Well, right over there, right on the corner, we were eating soup,
right,
and he started feeding the. He took a piece of bread and he started feeding the birds.
Did you know this guy?
I've met him. I know him from, you know, just around.
Has he been violent or bizarre in any way?
Never. Not as far as I know.
What's
never.
His name?
I don't know his name. I'm at a bar.
You call him Star?
Yeah, his name's Star.
Okay, go ahead.
But anyway, so he starts feeding the birds, and then he gets up and he walks. He gets up and he walks away. And he walked across the street over here, and then cop approached them and says, hey,
man or woman?
I really don't recall.
Sure. Now, where were you when the cop approached him?
I was right here standing on the corner, and they were across the street over here.
Right, from Pete's Coffee?
Yeah, because the cops walked over there. Well, the woman approached him first, I think.
Right.
And she was telling him, will you please go back and pick up the breadcrumbs? And he's like... I left it there for the birds. The birds were there eating the fucking crumbs.
How many breadcrumbs? Was it a lot of breadcrumbs or a few?
No, just what?
I was the man speaking
an handful or two. And anyway, he's like, well, what do you mean I'm feeding the birds? The birds will eat it. And she's like, well, come back here, come back here. I guess she was going to try to give him a ticket or something for littering.
Uh-huh.
So, and he didn't want to stop. So
was she talking to him from this side of the street to the other side?
On that side of the street.
And
so
you were on this side.
So then her backup came.
Is that correct? You were on this side? Well,
he wouldn't comply, so then her backup came.
You were standing on this side while this was
happening? The backup.
Yes, let me interrupt you for a minute, but where were you standing when you saw her talking to him?
I was standing right on the corner of Cooper, right here.
So you were across the street?
Yeah.
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah. So then her backup came, and he's like, well, go back and pick up your breadcrumbs or whatever. He's like,
how
no.
How many backup were there?
The birds were going to eat, well, one initially, then they just kept coming.
Now, were there on squad cars, on bikes, how many cars were involved?
There was a couple of foot soldiers, a couple of bike cops, and then the cars rolled up, and fuck, it was just a fucking big scene.
How many police cars did you count?
I'd say about four.
And any bicycles?
Two.
I'm looking for your opinion, not the man to your right.
I don't remember, man. It was just a big,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's reasonable.
I can't remember all it. I'm not thinking about cars and bikes. All I saw was cops and the kid trying to defend himself.
Did you hear any discussion between them other than this business about the breadcrumbs? Is there any other talk or shouting?
No. He wasn't shouting or doing anything like that. He wasn't disturbing the peace.
He surrendered.
Yeah. He dropped on when all of the squad cars started pulling up. He fucking got on his knees and, you know, surrendered peaceably.
Did you see him strike any of the officers?
Of course.
You're nodding your head. How many times?
I can't count.
Who struck first?
The cops grabbed him.
Well, let me get your account and his account both.
But the cops assaulted him. That's my statement.
No, I understand. I appreciate that. But and this is mainly for, you know, this is for my purposes, not for any police purposes.
Did you know when his court date is?
I know his name is Fiedler. You can probably find out by going to the paper if you want
like to be there.
Okay. So.
Because he wasn't doing nothing.
And how long did this whole thing take?
It just took too long. Too long, really, because it hurt my feelings more than anything. But he was scared, you know, and the guy probably needs mental health more than I do. You know? And the police definitely are out of control, so.
I'm scared of the cops, too.
And why are you scared of the police?
I'm scared of the police because I haven't seen them. I have never seen a cop personally harass criminals, but they harass people for sleeping in the bushes and, you know, whatnot, you know.
Would you be interested in forming a union of street people to fight this police violence?
For sure.
Come to the farmer's market at 3 o'clock.
All right.
Where is that?
Farmer's market
right
is
there.
Two blocks up, one block over.
Yeah.
It's,
okay.
You know, across from the Red Church. Would you be willing to sign a statement about this stuff for the Citizens Police Review Board that oversees the police?
God bless you. You know I will.
Yes.
Okay, give me your full name.
Chasten Carson.
And how you spell the last?
Carson.
And you have a contact number you can be reached at?
No, I don't.
Where can people generally find you?
Right here.
Okay.
Church Street and Pacific.
Gotcha. And you are a man of African-American descent?
That's what they tell me.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah? And you got a kind of a...
I don't believe in racial distinctions, though. We're all one people.
Dig it. You got a beard, and you got dreads.
Yeah.
Okay. Your name, sir, is?
James Lewis Duran, live from Santa Cruz. And
U-R-A-N?
D-U-R-A-N-D.
And
I'm French.
Phone contact or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, Star Vision Direct TV,
You have like a phone number?
Laguna Beach, California, yeah. I'm on the website, you know, and you get Rainbow, Star Vision Direct.
Never know Varnish.
You've known the guy for 3 years, you say, Shaz?
I've known the guy from, you know, just seeing him around town or whatever. Never know Varnish. Never know Varnish, never harasses anyone. And I want to know why he went off like that. It had to be a reason. He's never been known to be violent. He's never been known to be violent, but all of a sudden he goes violent. The cops must have did something wrong.
By the way, you guys should know that at 1 o'clock on Friday, right around the corner, at the McPherson Center, you know, the little place on the corner, two council members, who I don't have too much respect for, Emily Riley and Ed Porter, but then I don't respect the council, are gathering information about street problems. I would suggest you go to them and say, we saw a man, and then describe your story.
Fuck, they're the problem.
Yeah.
They're the problem. Give people shelter. Fucking get a job training program or something. I mean, if you don't want to see people on the streets, get them off the streets. Help them. Do something. That's what we're asking for, help. Every time we get out here with a sign, what does our sign say? Help. Somebody, please, lend a hand. Do something.
Have you been sleeping illegally recently?
Oh, yeah.
No. No, I don't sleep illegally. I'm a citizen of the United States of America.
The laws are
and
illegal.
If I do not have a home, it's my God-given right to sleep in the bushes.
Well, I sleep in fear because of the law, because I know I sleep when I'm tired and the law is there, and so I have to stand, I have to do a different hour to sleep, because I know when they don't want to come out of the coffee shops, I have to be sleeping. I have to be in the bush, so when I get up at dawn, I know they're going to go shake the bushes, so I get up and I'm running, and then I ain't got nothing to do.
Take it. Any tickets for sleeping?
No, just for artwork that I do, because I draw roses and give them to children. And I was letting them hang out, you know, so the kids could see them, you know, and they like them, you know, and they come by and they want to have a free rose and I can give them away and it makes me happy.
What happened?
Because, you know, I just ain't, you know, happy without seeing children smiling. And flowers seem to make them smile.
You got hassled for this?
Oh, they got told that I can't bring my artwork out in public, you know, to show, you know.
That's
because
unconstitutional.
Well, no, it was just...
It's unconstitutional to deprive you of the right to do that.
I just wanted to make people happy because I put peace, love, roses.
We don't allow that in Santa Cruz, sir.
I didn't know that was... Well, you know,
first you make them sad, then you put them to work.
I just want people not to have war, you know, and I just want let peace and love be known first. Who's going to pick up the peace sign?
Gotcha. Chaz, anything you want to say? You want to say something?
I have nightmares about the police waking me up in the bushes, harassing me. I call them urban terrorists because that's what they are.
Dig it. Well, again, turn it ahead.
City Council also supports the urban terrorists, known as the fucking Santa Cruz Police Department, Gestapo.
Thank you. We're talking with...
And those were several interviews on the street with people who said they saw the incident that happened on Monday, where a littering ticket escalated into a brawl with the police, according to that objective writer, Jason Schultz of the Sentinel on Wednesday, June 26th. On the line with me is activist Becky Johnson, who actually has been videotaping some interviews of folks who claim to have seen this incident. Hi, Becky.
Hey, Robert.
And I know that you not only have that, but you've got some of the documents you have in front of you, for example, the original Sentinel story about this incident, which sort of is interesting to compare with the one that came out the next day. The original Sentinel story was Tuesday, June 25th, a small blurb, which I'm going to ask you to read. Mm-hmm. Then there was a longer story that happened on Wednesday, which talks, essentially it seems like fundamentally a police rewrite, or at least a police report, kind of. It doesn't look like this journalist did any kind of independent analysis or talked to any other witnesses. But why don't you read the original story?
Okay, yeah, this came in the Cops and Courts section of the Santa Cruz Sentinel.
Actually, let me strike that for a moment, and let me read you this story, and then we can point out the discrepancies between this story, or the interesting evolution from the, compare it with the original story. The big story, because yours is a very little kind of buried in the back story.
Right.
This the big story. It says littering ticket escalates into brawl with police. That was on page 3 or 4.
Then it's already wrong because it doesn't look like any littering ticket was ever issued.
Right. You just called the jail, right?
That's correct.
We're talking about Norman Friedberg of Santa Cruz.
That's correct.
This is the man who was arrested, and at least by most of the witnesses I've heard, beaten by police at least several blows, at least some say many blows. One says one blow, but he was hit by a police baton, and a number of police were involved in this incident, and it all started because of I'll read the story. A man attacked a community service officer who asked him to stop littering Monday night, and it took a half dozen officers to subdue him, police said. The female officer approached Norman Friedberg of Santa Cruz on Pacific Avenue near Locust Street at 5:30 p.m. and asked him to pick up some breadcrumbs he was throwing on the ground, said Lieutenant Tom Velasquez. Area merchants had called police to complain about the man, Velasquez said. But Friedberg swore at the officer and refused, Velasquez said, so the officer wrote Friedberg a ticket. When the man became belligerent and refused to accept the ticket, the officer called for help, Velasquez said. When her sergeant arrived, Friedberg continued to argue, then allegedly tried to grab the sergeant's gun from its holster. The sergeant pushed Friedberg away, Velasquez said, but the man punched the sergeant, that's Sergeant Baker, in the face, chipping his tooth. He then, although I didn't notice Baker's tooth was chipped at City Council on Tuesday.
Nor did he have any scratches or abrasions that were noticeable in his face.
Right, although he did indicate he had been hit with, I believe he said, his own radio or somebody's radio. And he did say that the man had pulled the gun from one of the officers, and that there was it was a real scuffle. Of course, again, continuing the story, I noticed so far in the story there's not a mention of the claim that has been repeated by numerous witnesses that he picked up the breadcrumbs, or Food Not Bombs offered to pick up the breadcrumbs, and then he continued to get the ticket. And so this is what upset him, so that he would not accept the ticket, because in essence the reason for the ticket was removed. And continuing with this, the sergeant pushed Friedberg away, Velasquez said, but the man punched the sergeant in the face, chipping his tooth. He then grabbed the officer's radio and swung it, hitting the community services officer in the neck. Several other officers arrived during the brawl and subdued Friedberg, Velasquez said. So it's all Velasquez's report, Lieutenant Tom Velasquez. He was arrested and booked into county jail on suspicion of resisting arrest, attempting to remove an officer's weapon, several charges of battery on a police officer, assault with a deadly weapon, and littering. However, when you called the jail, what did you find?
Well, I found that Norman Friedberg is booked with felony assault with a weapon, and they gave several codes, which
are probably these sections that they're talking about in this article.
245C, 245B times 3, 3 counts of that, 148.9, 148A1 times 2. Now, I'm not a real expert on what all these code numbers are,
it doesn't
but
sound like
none,
there's
of
a littering.
Them, none of them's a littering ticket. I know that much.
Mm-hmm. You know what a littering ticket citation is?
Well, it would be a municipal code. These are penal codes.
Right, that's true. Although there may be a littering statute for the state in the penal code, but I don't think that that's what they would be charging him with. Friedberg remained in custody Tuesday night on $25,000 bail. And was he still in custody when you called a few minutes ago?
Yes.
Was the bail still $25,000?
$25,000, yes.
And when is his court date?
It's July 2nd, 8:15 in the morning in Department 4.
That's what, Tuesday, July 2nd, I believe?
That would be, Tuesday.
Police say in recent weeks they have dealt, and then the rest of the story is, in recent weeks they have dealt with a handful of relatively minor encounters in the downtown that have escalated into confrontations. We seem to be spending a lot more time down there dealing with antisocial behavior, Velasquez said. And then the rest of the story is about the criminal chalker Nathaniel Kennedy, which is probably seems a little more accurate, because this whole story is a quote from Lieutenant Velasquez. But you have an earlier story about the same incident, which is sort of curious. Why don't you read that story? It was from the Sentinel the day before.
Right, yeah, it is odd that the Sentinel would write two articles about the same incident a day apart. Mm-hmm. Why would they do that? But this is the first article. It says, Police wrestle man to ground downtown. It took four officers, batons out, to subdue a man early Monday evening on Pacific Avenue in downtown Santa Cruz. The man was not arrested or charged, and police did not explain why they approached him Monday night. But when the man refused to be questioned and ran from the Santa Cruz police officer, she called for backup and summoned two other police cars to her aid. The man was approached at the corner of Pacific Avenue and Locust Street, where he was surrounded by police, and then began punching and kicking the officers. Police used their batons on his legs and eventually subdued him before cuffing him and putting him in the car.
Now, you interviewed Randy Sue Winchell, the flower lady who sells her, or tries to sell her, tries to donate her flowers in front of the Cinema 9. Didn't she say something when I heard some of this interview about the man being beaten naked?
She said he was beaten so hard that his pants came off, and that his pants were, when they pulled him up from the ground, his pants were around his ankles. He had no underwear on. He was totally exposed for, you know, this large crowd of people that had gathered in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she overheard him say, the officers, can someone please pull my pants up?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Randy Sue Winchell is one of the Camp Paradise defendants, and she's pretty harsh about misconduct when she sees it from homeless people. I've heard her be pretty critical of some homeless people. What was her view of this police situation?
She was terrified for the man. She thought that there was so much tension in the incident, she thought that someone, one of the cops, was going to pull a gun out and shoot the guy. You know, fortunately it didn't come to that, but that just was her sense of the level of tension that resulted from this incident, which was, the article of course doesn't say, they said he was throwing breadcrumbs on the ground. Well, he was feeding the birds.
That's what the two witnesses we heard in the rather slow tape, my apologies to listeners, that we heard earlier.
Yeah, I heard that too from some other people who witnessed at least some of the incident, that's how it began, that he was throwing some crumbs down for the birds.
And I heard similar comments from Brian Kepke, who headed the Food Not Bombs operation, or certainly was one of the workers there, and he took some reports on that. He wasn't there actually when it began, but that's what he got. I also find it interesting that this article, again, it's playing into this journalism. Vlasis is doing the spin. We seem to be spending a lot more time there dealing with antisocial behavior. I mean, I like the halo of innocence around Vlasis's head.
Mm-hmm.
What is prompting people to be upset and angry and fight back? But it seems to me, humiliating behavior and pressure from police officers on what seems to be a pointless kind of demand that a person not throw breadcrumbs on the ground.
And why give a $162 ticket to a homeless man? He wasn't littering. At least he didn't perceive that he was littering. He thought that he was feeding the birds.
And according to Kepke, they said that Food Not Bombs was going to clean up the area anyway. In fact, he said that this guy picked up the breadcrumbs.
No, that's not what I heard. I heard that when the police officer, the woman CSO,